Apologies. I did think I knew what I was going to be talking about, and it's felt like as the morning's gone on, that has had to change. So this is going to be slightly different. I have brought you a kind of vision for this year type thing. But to be honest, it's really simple. It's this: the world is a mess, God's on the move, wake up and get involved. That's the talk. It's fine to, yes, please cheer that. That's absolutely true. But we need to carry the weight of that as well. Rather than like some self-deprecating stories and try to make you laugh and things like that, we're going to do something slightly different. Emma McClintock has just a bit of a testimony about how she has come to faith and God's grown her faith. It feels like story is really important. So we're going to hear Emma's story, and then I'm going to briefly try to explain the doors to you, and we're going to pray together. Because the world's a mess, but God's on the move, so we need to wake up and get involved. Emma, is that enough intro for you to come and tell us a bit of your story? Great. I'm really sorry about the temperature, because it's not our venue. We don't know how to change that. Feel free to put coats on, borrow a friend's coat, things like that if you need to. Emma, over to you.
Nice.
Emma, over to you.
Hello. Yay. some of you may know me. I was very fortunate enough to grow up in a Christian household with a passionate Christian as a mum and a dad who is a vicar. And that was a really important part of like my story and my testimony. But it wasn't until I was about 7 years old where I really came to faith for myself. So I was sort of coming to church when I was very little, you know, going to Sunday school. But then I remember I was on a beach in Northern Ireland, because that's where my dad's side of the family are from. And I just heard God say, "I love you." And I was like, "What's that? Who is that?" Like this big voice, like it was crazy. I've never heard that before. And to be honest, I haven't really heard that voice since. I've heard him in different ways. But that was just really pivotal for me, because I was like, right, I want to follow Christ. I want to follow Jesus. This is who he is, and he loves me. And I want to love him too. But unfortunately, I sort of got into the teenage years, and I sort of fell away a bit. I still call myself a Christian, but I didn't practice it as much. Maybe I didn't read my Bible, or maybe I sort of stopped going to church a little bit more. And it wasn't until like summer 2024 where I went to New Wine. And on the first night, when everyone spoke and I saw all these people my age just like bowing down before God, I was like, wow, this is amazing. So I knelt down and I submitted everything. And I went, God, I want to come back. I want to practice my faith every day. And I sort of had a revelation. And from then on, I started reading my Bible most days. I even wrote like quotes on my arm, and I would tell my friends about Jesus. So I was like, do you know Jesus? He's amazing. It was a really pivotal moment for me as well, that. But it's also, I just want to say, it's not those two things which helped me, but it's the daily choice as well. And it was the daily commitment. And through the ups and the downs, the mountains and the valleys, as we were talking about earlier, just deciding to follow him despite all the challenges is what I encourage everyone else to do. So thank you.
Thank you. A bit more encouragement for Emma. Thank you. Catherine, do you think you could see if you can find Craig, or see if Sarah can find Craig and get a little bit more heat in here? Because, great, thank you. Liz, skip the reading bit, please, and there should be a slide that looks a bit like that. If you can find that, that's perfect. The one before, great, thank you. I wonder what you were sharing on your tables, and I wonder what you now, a little bit later, wish you had said. What the story you carry is that you didn't quite have the courage to share, or didn't get the opportunity to speak about. Because I know so many of you, I know that this year God has been stretching some of you. I know that this year God has been encouraging you to go deeper. I know that there's ideas for new things. I know there's connections you've had with colleagues, neighbours, friends, where it feels like they are maybe taking two steps forward and then one step back in faith, but God's doing something you just don't quite know what it is. I know that there's difficulty at home and in family life and grief that you carry. I know lots of your stories, not all of your stories, but I know that in the midst of difficulty, God is at work. I know that as we look at our church life, we see in the midst of difficulty, God's at work. Some of us trying to start new communities, Helen and I are trying to start a new community, and remembering that at the start, and sometimes all the way through, Kairos community is really small, and it can feel very fragile, and you're so grateful for the people that just turn up, even if it's just one of them. Where's James? We're so grateful for the people that just turn up to community and help keep it going. We are at, I believe, an absolutely critical point in our nation and our world's history. And you don't need me to tell you probably all the stuff that's going on around the world that we see and in our country. You don't need me to tell you, although we like to deny it, that it's easy for us to live in a bit of a Harrogate bubble sometimes, separated from the realities happening in the cities and towns around us. There is a desperation, a growing fear, a growing anxiety, a growing anger amongst people that we need to listen to and listen to God alongside. And then alongside with that, there is just so many tremendous stories of God on the move, which is why I wanted to encourage Emma to say something. And well, all the stories, thank you. But Emma and Emma, your stories are so powerful because they are local examples of what God's doing around the nation, which is calling young people to step in, perhaps to some of the leadership gap that our older generations are leaving right now. Because God's on the move, people are far hungrier than we realize. And it's time to be involved. And the simple message I want to leave us with today, this is the vision for the year, folks. It's just the same as last year, but more urgency. Wake up. Rise from the dead. Christ will shine on us. I know that can sound like a harsh thing. I mean it to myself as well, because I'm so 50-50 sometimes. I sleepwalk with compromise. I push away some of the realities. Wake up. Can you pop the one before on, Liz, as well, or the other verse too? Oh, that one's perfect. Thank you, Liz. You know how awkward I can be sometimes. You're working very well with me. Thank you. And this that we've been praying at the start of our gatherings. The reason we've been praying it at our gatherings is because this is it, folks. We're called Kairos because it's a word for time. The time has come. This is it. This is the time where God's at work in our nation amidst all the tough stuff. Today is the day of God's favour. Now is the time of... I've said that wrong, haven't I? Now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. I'm realising this more and more when I'm just sat outside the front of the hall and people are wanting to talk to me about what you think of the new Archbishop, or stopping to look at what's going on. And they don't actually want to know what I think about the new Archbishop. What they want to know is this a place that can show me a little bit of what Jesus is like in a way that I can follow? And the chances are, there are people in your life who are thinking exactly that question. You may not realize it yet. The question they're thinking is, the world's gone crazy, what can I put my trust in? And then the next step they're thinking is, this person I know says they follow Jesus. I wonder if I can follow Jesus in the way that they are. I wonder if that's true, and the way they live demonstrates that. And so there are people in your life looking at you, wondering, how are we going to respond? The postcards give you that verse. They have some postures that you might like to contemplate. That was going to be a longer sermon. I mean, you can take them away, put them in your Bible, meditate on them. I might talk about them at some point. I just want to think about the door image for a second. Liz, can you put up the two doors? Brilliant. So in Revelation chapter 3, the Apostle John, stranded on an island, writes to the churches of his area, working with their own time of crisis. Okay, probably Nero is the emperor, probably Christians are getting persecuted everywhere. The kind of the fake peace of the Roman Empire is at its highest, and it's a tough time to live. And in the letters that become Revelation, he gives the image of two doors to two of the churches. One of them, Church of Philadelphia, says the door's open, step through. It's this invitation to more. And I wondered, as we were listening to the stories, what within them was an invitation to more, to you. We need some new Kairos communities. Was there an invitation? Oh, I could talk to some people and do that. Are you starting to think of people that might be interested in exploring faith that you could invite to something like this or spend some time with? What's the invitation to more at this point that God gives you? But to the other, one of the other churches, the door's quite different. It's shut. It's closed. And it's a church that in the Revelation, the writer talks about as being lukewarm, but then says, I'm stood outside of your door knocking. If you'd only open it, I'd come in. And here's my question, Kairos. Where's the door shut to Jesus in our lives right now? I could tell you two or three things. Like I was realizing the other day, why do I still get worried and anxious when I'm going to certain things? What's God saying there? Perhaps I've shut the door in my heart in a little way. Okay, Jesus, open it. Come in and talk with me. But there's others as well. Where is the door shut to Jesus in your life? And how might you open it and invite him in? Because he wants to be part of you. He wants to be with you in this moment of crisis and opportunity. And where's the open door? A person, a situation, a friendship, an opportunity to get involved in something, a new project, a dream, a new way of worshipping and being close to God. Where's the open door he's inviting you to walk through? Now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. There's not going to be another more opportune moment than now for responding to what God's doing. So let's be people that let Jesus into every part. And let's be people who walk through the open doors that God puts in front of us, like praying for someone on the train or starting something because you've spotted there's a gap. I could talk more, but I'll probably just be circling around the same thing, looking for a chance to land. So that's that. I know that's not super kind of, well, I think it is encouraging. It's an incredible moment to be alive. But God's on the move. Let's look for what he's doing. Let's join in. Now's the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. In a moment or two, we're going to sing again and then share communion. But before that, I invite you just to pick up one of the little door PDF things that we put on the table. Just hold it, reflect on it for a moment. Invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to both encourage and convict. Lord, where are there closed doors in our lives? Where have we shut you out? Jesus, we open our hearts to you. Where, with the current realities, with what you've got going on right now, not someone else's life, your life here and now, where is there an open door of opportunity in front of you? Jesus, give us the courage to say yes and walk through. We thank you for what you're doing amongst us and around the nation. We know we're at the start. We long for so much more. Fill us and empower us. Amen.